I take my text from that first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 30. God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. Now today, as you all know, I'm sure, is the first Sunday in that season of the church's calendar known as Epiphany. Epiphany is an ancient Greek word meaning the revealing, particularly the revealing of a God revealing his presence and his own nature. In Greek mythology, it was used to describe any occasion when a god made his or her appearance to a human being. But to the Christian church, Epiphany refers to that very special event just after the first Christmas, when God revealed his only Son in human form to the three wise men who came from the east seeking him. And understandably, it's this event that I want to look at with some closeness this morning. So, number one, let's start with the simple question: who were these wise men? Who were they? We're used to seeing them pictured in many and various ways on our Christmas cards, but who in fact were they? Well, we understand they came from a class of learned people who lived in Babylonia and were known as Magi. They were in effect the educated class of society, the university people, the university professors of their day. Now, Babylon is recognized as a place where civilization and therefore systematic learning really began. Arithmetic, for example, was invented there, although no schoolboy or schoolgirl thanks them for that. Astronomy also was developed to an astonishingly high level so that they could predict eclipses with some accuracy. They could predict the movements of the planets. And the emergence of a new body in the heavens would immediately be picked up by them. But not all of their researches were truly scientific. They believed, for example, that knowledge of human affairs could be gained from the movement of the stars and the planets, or even from dreams. Both of these ideas feature in this story. Now, the Magi had always been keen to take on board the wisdom and the knowledge of other peoples. So when, in the 6th century BC, the Jews were conquered and taken as slaves to Babylon, the Magi were eager to study their scriptures and to discuss them with the scholarly Jews. We're given to understand that there was considerable interchange of learning between them, and they developed a mutual understanding. The Magi would have approved of the wisdom of Solomon, as we read in Proverbs chapter 3. Happy is the man who becomes wise, who gains understanding. There is more profit in it than in silver or in gold. And the Magi would have learned of the prophets of Israel, and especially of the prophecies of a Holy One whom God would send, apparently, to save Israel, the first prophecies of a Messiah. Now, when these prophecies came to Babylon, Jeremiah and Isaiah were there in person with the captives in Babylon. And after the Israelites returned to Jerusalem, the Magi kept in touch with their learned men and the latest developments in their thought. Truly, they were the educated men of their time. So what is it that the Magi were seeking? What is it that they were looking for as they followed this particular star? Well, we find a very straightforward answer to that question in the story in St. Matthew's Gospel, where they ask, "Where is the baby born to be king of the Jews?" Now, it's easy to believe that these men had closely studied the words of the prophet Isaiah, because he says in chapter 9, "A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This, they thought, the Magi thought, was just what the world needed. Since time began, the world has been torn apart by kings who brought only war and destruction, whether they were Assyrians or Egyptians or Persian or Greek, and now the Romans. How the world desperately needed a king who would bring peace instead of war, who would bring justice and compassion. Now, Isaiah spoke of such a king. The prophet Micah, too, spoke of a Lord who would settle disputes among the nations so that they hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Wonderful expression, isn't it? But this new king's rule would go beyond peace between the nations to peace and justice within every society. And Isaiah witnessed, "He has chosen me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to the captives and freedom to those in prison. He has sent me to comfort all that mourn." This, Isaiah prophesied, was what God's chosen one would bring to the people. But this coming God of Israel is a Lord who goes even further than that, because he cares, according to Isaiah, he will care for each person as individuals. He will take care of his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs together and carry them in his arms. He will gently lead their mothers. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. The notion of a God who not only brought peace and justice between the nations, but who could by his care bring peace and love and healing to the troubled of heart, to the individual sufferer who trusted him, this was a new and revolutionary idea to the wise men of Babylon, and they wanted to know more about such a wonderful God. Did God really care? This was the burning question of the time. It would be worth a long journey across the desert if it revealed just some slight possibility of an answer, some small glimmer of hope in man's darkness. So we come to the climax of our story. Did the wise men find what they were looking for? The answer, I suppose, is yes and no. But to put it another way, no followed by yes. Guided by their star, they first of all paid a visit upon the king of Judea himself, King Herod, presumably at the grand palace he had built for himself in Jerusalem. Although with hindsight, this can be seen as a mistake. It was at the time a very reasonable thing to do. After all, the promise was for the birth of a new king, where one be more likely to find a newborn king than in a royal palace. And secondly, since Herod was indeed the king of Judah, it was surely a matter of tact to notify him that they were carrying out such a search on his territory. The Magi were people of some standing whose presence was sure to be reported, and it would be tactless and even dangerous to engage on such a quest without first notifying the king that they were in his country. Any misgivings they may have had were well founded, as we know. Herod was extremely disturbed to hear rumors of a new king on his territory. Herod was a violent and unstable man, one of the biggest thugs in recorded history, used to assassinating rivals and any who challenged his power. So he was extremely interested to hear of a potential new rival and urged the wise men to keep him informed, keep him in touch, if they found such a person. So visiting the palace, as far as the wise men were concerned, drew a blank. Where would they go to continue their search? Well, they did have some significant clues to follow up, some prophecies in the old scriptures. For example, there was a prophecy in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 which said, "Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel." Secondly, there were prophecies in both Isaiah and Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 23, which clearly stated that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. Now, the line of David went back to the marriage of Ruth and Boaz, who had lived in Bethlehem. So the wise men set out for Bethlehem, which lies only 5 miles south of Jerusalem, and it's there that they came to the place where the young child lay. But what in point of fact had they found? What did they find? A baby indeed, but a baby born in very humble circumstances, lying in a manger, an animal's food trough, dwelling with his parents in a stable, because there was no room for him in the inn. No one had the compassion to make room for him. These were none of the symbols of kingship. Was this really the one to bring peace and justice to all nations? Was this the one who came bringing love and healing to the human heart? Understandably, they hesitated. But was there yet another prophecy that came to their minds at that point? Something they remembered about his being despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. No one would even look at him. We ignored him as if he were nothing, the prophecy said. Yes, if that was so, they had come to the right place after all. And they bowed to the king in a manger and offered their gifts, gold for his kingship, frankincense for his priesthood, myrrh for his coming death. And they took their departure from the stage of history and didn't call again upon Herod. And so this brings me to my last question. What sort of king do we find if we follow their footsteps to Bethlehem? If we gaze upon that manger and ponder its message, what sort of king? After all, where we would look for wealth, we find poverty. Where we expected strength, we find helplessness. Where we would look for wisdom, we find innocence. Instead of all these, we find the quality of love, the simple, wholehearted love of a mother for her child. It speaks eloquently to our hearts. Can this be God's new message to the world? That it is love that upholds, that persuades, that transforms our weak, unsatisfactory lives. For this baby will grow to be a man of love and truth and compassion. And in him, the true nature of his Father God will be revealed to the world. It will be revealed even more when they slay him on a cross, and he still forgives them. And more still when he rises again to break death's power and open the way to life eternal. This is the answer to the wise men's search. It is the answer to the whole world's search. So let us ask him this Epiphany to come into our hearts, for he is the source of all true wisdom, and with him we will find his peace, his truth, and his love, and ultimately his joy in our hearts forevermore. As Paul says, God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. Amen.